Dear students, in our final presentation on mutual funds, we concentrated on a single mutual fund. Why? Because you got to choose one out of almost 12,000. And we chose this mutual fund for many reasons, one of which is the fact that it's been around for decades. It's called the Investment Company of America, and many people just call it ICA. So we have an illustration that shows how well this mutual fund has done over 85 years. Now, don't worry, we'll show you some illustrations for more realistic time periods later on when we take a look at $100 a month for 30 years, $100 a month for 40 years, and 20 years. But let's take a look at how well this mutual fund has done since the Great Depression. Now, we have it queued on the hard drive because it's a lot easier to look at. So let's just minimize this, and here it is. This is called a hypothetical illustration, or just sometimes called an illustration. Now, these have to be done by registered representatives, licensed individuals. The common term is a stockbroker. And if you ask your mutual fund to do this for you, they'll probably hem and haw and maybe say, oh, you need to find a representative, or they'll finally get you to one who can do it for you. So let's take since here is truly as a registered representative, I'm allowed to do this. So let's take a look at this. Now, these things have all kinds of waivers and disclosures and warnings that nobody reads, but let's try looking at least one. Investments are not FDIC insured, nor are they deposits of or guaranteed by a bank or any other entity, so they may lose value. Figures shown are past results and not predictive of results in future periods. Current and future results may be lower or higher than those shown. Share prices and returns will vary, so investors may lose. Does anybody listen to this? Does anybody read these things? No. That's why we use plain song, Gregorian chant, because it might as well be Greek or Latin or whatever, because no one actually looks at this. But the lawyers say they have to be there, and they give you pages of these things trying to warn you that be afraid, be very afraid. These things are not a bank. You're going to be paying fees. You're going to be losing money at certain times of the market cycles, and so you've got to be prepared. But does this prepare you for it? No, it just... They don't even get it in writing anymore. They just send you a link saying, click here, saying that you have read all it, knowing that you haven't. But for some odd reason, I don't know why, ask the Securities and Exchange Commission, whenever you take a look at a mutual fund or some other type of investment, they often use $10,000, as if most of us working grunts have $10,000 lying around the house. But that's what we use, and so that's what we'll use. And because that's what the Securities and Exchange Commission tells us to use. Then later on we'll do more realistic, okay? So you put away $10,000 at the beginning of this mutual fund, which was actually December 31st, 1933, but they're looking at it as if you put it in January 1st of 1934. This mutual fund, by the way, actually predates that, but it was run by another company. So once this current company that runs it took over, they restart the clock. So throughout the Great Recession, you see that prices were and the value was bouncing around quite a bit. There were some actually very good years during the Great Depression, some actually very bad years. Look, 31,000 down to 19,000. But throughout World War II, kind of the end of the world, it kind of held its own until we hit the go-go 50s and 60s, where the stock market went in two directions, up and way up. And we hit, believe it or not, in 1972, over $1 million. 1971, actually, and then 1972 was the peak, $1,231,000. And what did you hear people say? Ooh, 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 Is it too late to get in? Yeah, right. Because look at what happened 2 years later. A very harsh recession in 1973, 1974, the first gas crisis, and some of us were still alive at that time, but most of you weren't. I remember it. And the market fell almost 50%. And this individual mutual fund did better than that, but still, from 1.2 million down to 840,000. And what did you hear people say? Ooh, is it too late to get out? Right. We hope you didn't panic and sell all your investments, because 2 years later, where were you? In 1976? Almost 1.5 million. Exactly. The 1970s were a very difficult time for the economy, various reasons, but the biggest reason was what's called the demographic adjustment of the baby boom generation. All the baby boomers coming of age, needing to find jobs and cars and shoes and houses and refrigerators. And then we shook that off, and we're in the 1980s. Globalization, new technologies, opening the world up, the fall of communism, and the realization that, you know, capitalism might be the absolute worst economic system ever created, except for all the others. And the stock market went in two directions, up and way up. So your 1970s doldrums turned into the 1980s and 90s fabulous market. And sure enough, you heard people say throughout the 1990s, ooh, is it too late to get in? And look at where we were at the year 2000. $47 million. Yeah. Yeah, and what did you hear people say? Ooh, is it too late to get in? Yeah, because then we had the internet bubble bursting, and the market fell almost 50%. Again, this mutual fund did better than that on the way down, and they went from $47 million to $38 million in 2002. And then you heard people say, ooh, is it too late to get out? And yes, indeed, that was the time to be buying, not selling, because sure enough, in 2003, you bounced back to almost $49 million. And then we had the internet bubble was followed by the housing bubble, and the stock market actually did very well. 2007, you had $70 million. Your $10,000 had become $70 million. And the housing bubble burst, and it took down the rest of the economy. And sure enough, 2008 was like a bolt of lightning from the sky. Your $70 million became $46 million. But you, dear students, didn't run, you didn't hide, you didn't panic, and you held on, and it took 5 years, but it finally got back to 2012 to your a little over your $70 million in 2017, and then the last several years have actually been pretty darn good. The last year, 2018, was a little down, but still, your $10,000 has become $138 million, and an average annual rate of return of almost 12%. Now remember, what do we tell people about stocks? 8, 9, 10%. But here is a mutual fund that's been around for 85 years that's done almost 12%. Now, I'm not trying to get you to go out and buy an investment company in America, all right? I'm just showing you this one because of its longevity. It's a very good mutual fund, but there are others that have done better. So it's not the only one. But we have to concentrate on at least one, right? We have to look at least one out of the 12,000. And now what we're going to do is we're going to scoot on down and take a look at the graph. And this is exactly what we would expect. It's an exponential graph, and doesn't fit all on the screen. But you notice, this is how exponential graphs look. The first several decades looks like there's nothing actually going. Why? Because then the exponential curve starts. The wee up in the air. But is it a straight line? Is it a smooth ride? No, there are bumps along the way. And dear students, this is what you have to be ready for. If you're going to invest in stocks, or mutual funds that invest in stocks, there are going to be times when the markets are going to fall. And this is when you earn your money, in my humble opinion, when you don't panic. Make sense? I hope so. Now, we go back to the beginning where we said, is 85 really? I don't have an 85-year time frame plan. Most people don't. And so we're now in our in a subsequent commentary presentation. You'll see we will take a look at more reasonable time frames for people, especially younger people, 30 years, 40 years, throughout your working career, and then take a look at the folks who don't have 30 or 40 years, 20 years or so, and see that time is your ally. Time is your friend when you're younger. As you get older like me, time becomes your enemy. But the news is good. Even though every day on the squawk box, people are screaming and hollering about the end of the universe and the terrible conservatives and liberals who are destroying America. And yet, the economic news over the last 80 years has been very, very good, punctuated by times of terror and panic. And there's no reason not to believe that that's going to continue in the future, barring a major earthquake or nuclear war or a tsunami or meteorite, or who knows, disco could return. Well, most of you didn't live through the 1970s, did you? But as I've said before, I'm very optimistic. I'm very optimistic that if we don't have one of these exogenous, you like that word? We don't have one of these unexpected and horrible events, the next 20, 30, 40 years should be the most prosperous years in the history of the world. We'll see. Make sure you check out now the presentation that shows more realistic time frames. As always, thank you so much for your excellent effort and attention. And thank you so much for being in our class.